Sermons on Deuteronomy by John Calvin. On Friday the 3rd of January 1556, the 126th sermon, which is the second upon the 22nd chapter, a woman shall not wear the apparel of a man, neither shall a man put on a garment of a woman, for whosoever does so is an abomination to the Lord your God. The first law which I have rehearsed here shows that in all our behavior we must have a care to be honest and eschew all looseness. Truly it should seem to be no manner of great importance for a man to be apparelled after one fashion or other. But yet, for all that, God will have things done in order. For if men go disguised, and wear such apparel as serves not for necessity, but for folly, that is not convenient. If women be dissolute, what a thing is that? They forget their natures. For women ought to be modest, if there be no shame, but that they will needs be out of order. It is very beastliness. That is the effect of God's intent in saying men ought not to put on women's apparel, nor women ought not to be clothed in men's apparel. For it is good reason that there should be a difference between men and women, and even if there were no law written, does not even nature teach it us? Now, since you know this, without any scripture or word written, do you not see how God has sown, as it were, a seed of modesty in you, to the intent that every man should have a regard to that which is comely for him? So then, let us mark that here God intended to show us that every body's attiring of themselves ought to be such as there may be a difference between men and women. And truly we see what dangers ensue when folk go so disguised. Many inconveniences accompany them, and God is offended with them. Therefore the setting down of this law is not without cause. For they that love to go so disguised despise God. As for example, in these masking and mummings, when men put themselves into women's apparel, and women put themselves into men's, as you know, what comes of it? Although no evil ensued thereof, yet the very thing itself displeases God. We hear what is said of it in this place. Whosoever does it is an abomination. Ought not this saying to make the hair of our heads stand up, rather than that we should provoke God's wrath upon us willfully? But besides this, we are sure that the suffering hereof is the opening of a gap to all whoredom. At a word, such disguising are but enticements of bawdry, as experience proves. Therefore, let us not think that it was more than needed for God to appoint men a several kind of apparelling by themselves, and women another kind of attiring by themselves agreeable to their different sexes. Whereupon we have to remember that God likes well that should be an honesty even in our apparel. Truly, as I have said before, that is not the chief point. For if a man should set the perfections of our life in this thing, it were alone as if he should set the cart before the horse. But yet, is it not to be omitted? For even the heavens themselves have showed us our lesson, telling us that if there be no regard of honesty, men do bewray that the rest of their virtues are not counted for virtues any more. For if they observe not some order, discretion and modesty in their behaviors and manner of dealings, they may seem to be degenerated as brute beasts. Then is it as a witness that we walk as before God when we regard a kind of honesty in our apparel? Truly men may soon overshoot themselves. Although they attire not themselves like women, yet if they use any goddishness and make themselves to be as gazing stocks, such superfluity displeases God already in another respect. Likewise, the women attire not themselves in the raiment of men, yet if they be too gallant and brave, and covet to have too great a show, they will not fail to offend God, even in another respect, as I said before. Yet notwithstanding, we must first of all see that men be so apparelled that they become not womanlike, as we see at different times that they attire themselves like brides. In so doing, they seem to be sorry that God made them not women, and to be desirous to renounce their own sex, and that is a shameful thing. Again, When women go apparel like men of war, not spoken to, we had any law or ordinance of God, yet do we even of ourselves perceive it to be strange. And whosoever has any spark of pureness in him will judge it to be so. You see them, the first of all, the fashion which men use in apparelling themselves must show that God has created them to be as men, and that the women also must observe the modesty that is agreeable to their sex. Thus much concerning the first point. And as touching the second, let us mark also generally that in our apparelling of ourselves, God will have us to respect use and modesty. Those are the two things which we ought to set store by. The first is use, and my meaning by use is that men should be contented with such apparel as will defend them from cold and heat. And by honesty I mean that they should not be clad and attired after a disguised fashion, as though they went to play an interlude, or were desirous to make folk to gaze at them for the strangeness of their apparel, that others might say of them, "Who is this? Oh, it is such a one." Now then, if we observe the use, that is to say, if we hold it enough to be closed only, and therewithal do keep such measures, we break not common order. It is a rule that God allows. Also, when women be not too curious in attiring themselves, nor desires to draw men's eyes on them, to behold them in their decking, that is the honest kind of behavior which God commends to us. And in the same respect, Paul says that women ought to have a holy honesty, or a comely holiness. In speaking of the attire and apparel of the faithful women, he uses a word which imports that they must not only be honest, but also with that have a certain mark of holiness, that they may be seen to have profited in God's word. And if we considered well what was the first cause of apparel, we would not be so greatly given to superfluous bravery as we are, for as often as we put on either shirt or coat, we put in mind that our Lord commands us to hide ourselves, because his image is disfigured in us, and our clothing of ourselves ought to make us think upon the sin of our father Adam. For by reason of sin we became subject both to heat and cold. And again God tells us that it is a sign of our shame, for nakedness of itself is not unhonest, were it not that God's image is disfigured in us by our corruption. Had we this regard with us, surely we would be warier to keep order and measure in our apparel than we are. Howsoever the world goes, let us learn that God will have us not only to be pure and clean from all lechery, but also to prevent all inconveniences. As for example, when he said, "You shall not commit adultery," that commandment has an eye to this present text. I have told you already that all the laws which are written here concern manners, and are rules of good life, and are to be referred to the Ten Commandments, for God has not added anything to those ten sentences. Therefore, whereas in this text it is said that the man shall not wear the apparel of the woman, does God let down an 11th commandment? Did God bethink himself better afterward, and add someone else to that which we had heard of him heretofore? No, it is but only an exposition of this saying of his, "You shall not commit adultery." Is how? For in forbidden adultery, God only forbids that act itself, which were punishable and worthy of reproach even before men, but also he forbids in effect all unchaste behavior, so as none may appear, neither in apparel nor in any part of our conversation. We must keep such a measure as our apparel tend not to unchaste, lest we run into such looseness as we be blamed for seeking to make a hotch-potch, and to have had no regard to bringing all things to confusion by such disorderly dealing, which a mischief to avoid. Both men and women must have a care to follow every one of them their own vocation. If we be not of that mind, although we commit not any adultery in the act, yet we are tainted already before God with some vice that tends towards adultery. Therefore, let us learn that by this sentence, where our Lord said that men and women ought to differ one from another in the fashion of their apparel, he meant to expound and confirm this former saying of his, "You shall not commit adultery," were this as well borne away as it ought to be. We should have better rule among us than we have, and there would be no such impediments in the redressing the abuse of apparel. The costliness of this would soon be corrected, enforced in countries. And why? For you shall see nothing now but embroidery, such over-sumptuous things that by all likelihood men are woefully bent to overcharge themselves with the decking of women, but these things would be provided for. And in the meanwhile, men look not to other vices which are as much or more to be condemned. For when persons seek to disguise themselves in their fashions, this seems to be nothing, but as it comes from an evil root, so tends it also to an evil end. For it is certain that if it were not for ambition and pride, their things should not be so common as they be, insomuch that they are a great sore to confine in their hearts to endure hunger and thirst and a number of other incommodities in their bodies, only to bestow their money upon things that can serve them to none other end than pomp and vanity. And why do they do so? Oh, they love well gay apparel. They have a delight to be tooted at and gazed at a great way off, and we see it more nowadays than ever it was seen. This fond curiosity has reigned in all ages among the French, and they cannot be reclaimed from it as yet at this day, but they despise God and nature more than ever they did. But we hear what God said by his prophet Sophony, where he threatened such folk as seek new-fangled and strange attires, coveting always the new shift. No doubt but he condemns his pompousness, and the persons themselves which seek every day new fashions, that they may be gazed at afar off, and be the more esteemed. And that men may say of them, such a one has invented a new fashion. Such a one is skillful in finding our new attires. Surely such folk are well worthy to be condemned to be tailors. These great lords and brave lads which we need wear tablets at their necks. That is to say, sumptuous jewels for folk to gaze at a great way off, out of reason to be made at tailors, seeing they have so great pleasure in finding out so different sorts of apparel to disguise themselves with. And by the way, let us mark that in saying our Lord shows us that we must come back to the said use and honesty, and to the rule which he has given us. And if we keep that, let us assure ourselves that it shall be an acceptable service to him. On the other hand, if we are led with a foolish and inordinate lust to change every minute of an hour and to disguise ourselves, it is a thing that displeases God, though it import none evil at all. And moreover, we see how it proceeds of fond, vain glory. And when men are given to vanity, surely they despise their own souls and never care for them. Also, they be infected with overweening, so as they will needs be commended. Now, when men deal after that fashion, can it be said that there is no evil in it? No, no. For what end do all these disguising and superfluities tend but to all manner of corruption and whoredom, and such other like things? Besides, superfluous expenses. And therefore, let us mark that to keep ourselves from such dangers, and from defiling our bodies with lechery and other infections, we must avoid evil occasions, and not meddle with anything that may allure us to any wicked lust, or otherwise, but apparel ourselves soberly and necessarily. So you see, in effect, how we ought to put this commandment in use.